week, beginning on Monday, the church is celebrating the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross. And the story behind it is that St. Constantine became the emperor of the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, and in 312, and then he legalized Christianity, and then later called the First Ecumenical Council in 325. And just what does this mean? It means that the message of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ had spread from Jerusalem, where our Savior was crucified, all the way to the Roman Empire. And which is an amazing thing when you think about it, because they didn't have modern communication, they didn't even have a printing press at this point, and the message went from Jerusalem, first, of course, the 12 disciples, and then those that came from them, and it spread throughout the whole, from the British Isles, the border of India, and all of North Africa. And this is a miracle that the gospel of our Savior spread. And the miracle can only be attributed to one thing, and that is the Holy Spirit of God worked through the apostles. And this is an amazing mystery, and that there is a Holy Spirit that has such power that it can enlighten the minds of people and allow them to see the truth of salvation. So after St. Constantine became the emperor, he legalized Christianity, that contract there. And then he sent, soon after, he sent his mother Helena to Jerusalem to try to find the Holy Cross. And what had happened is the Emperor Hadrian had, in order to desecrate the place of the crucifixion of our Lord, he had built a pagan temple over the place. So here, St. Constantine sent Helena, and I'm sure many others to assist her, and they uncovered the place where the crucifixion had. They found the three crosses, crossed by Savior in the two thieves, and buried in the ground there. And then they built a new temple, and in 335, they celebrated the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, where they were able to actually take the whole of the wood from the cross that Christ was crucified on and basically hold it up and bless the people with this. And so we celebrate this. And it seems to me that we all need to have understanding. And so meditation that I've had is, first, the cross is a window into the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his victory over sin and death. Think about this. And what's behind it is that, I think we can sort of see in our own time tremendous confusion and really a degradation of values that not many generations ago were fundamentally universal in our society. And we see a total degradation. We see a degrading of our life here. And what it comes from is that men and women together, in society together, have passions. And let's say, well, what is a passion? And what a passion really is things become a passion when that which is natural and given to us by God, for example, passions in eating. We need to eat, and God has given us food and the ability to gather food, to grow food, and to eat. But of course, we overeat and we gluttonize and we actually point where we fall asleep, or at least our senses are numbed. And then, of course, God gave us wine, which became the vehicle of the sharing of His blood, which He spilled on the cross. And Psalms say, a little wine, gladdeneth the heart of man. But what happens, of course, is man in his passions tends to take a lot of wine, or whatever their beverage may be, and to try to find an escape where one's mind is sort of, the thoughts and whatever feelings are obliterated. And of course, God gave us sexuality, and He gave us sexuality so that man and woman would become united in a union that is literally filled not only with our own desires and our own love and our own passions in the best sense of the word, but it's filled with the grace of God. And of course, as we know today, sexuality has been perverted. You can't go. You go on the internet anywhere. It doesn't matter what the conservative website. You'll see a sidebar filled with invitations to go out into a realm of perversion. And what happened is our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ knew that after the fall of Adam and Eve, that these passions were going to expand and become very troublesome and very powerful, controlling man. It's the passions of greed and the desire to triumph over others, even in simple relationships, in schools and so on. People have this desire. I've been thinking about school a lot recently, by the way. And you see the desks facing forward. And I remember being in high school, and there were the better students, and then there was the not so, good students, but not. And it's almost as though there is this sort of thing that they're going ahead and it's opposition to others. As opposed to, let's say, sitting around the table where we learn together and we actually support one another in our learning. And rather than exalting ourselves as being superior to the other students, we actually take that gift that we have and we use it to bring them along and help them understand fully. So that all these natural things that we have became passions. And what our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ did is He understood the fall of man. He understood these passions, these powerful passions, and He took them upon Himself. He didn't act them out, but He gathered them into Himself, and he allowed Himself to be crucified by men who had profound hatred for Him, because He had authority, and He had power, and He had beauty, and He had truth, and that power and beauty and truth, they felt, condemned them. So what they did is, how do you get rid of this? Crucify Him, the cruelest way of dying at that time. Hang Him on the cross with nails through His hands and through His feet until He died. And our Lord accepted the crucifixion because He understood that though they were crucifying Him and they thought that they would be triumphant by killing Him in the flesh, He would die and then rise again and release the power of His divinity and His grace in civilization, and obviously particularly among those who loved Him. And this is exactly what happened. Through the crucifixion of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, He released this eternal power that gave men and women together to overcome the perversion of the natural desires and energies and to be restored in His own image. This is the greatest miracle of all time, of course. And I hope you understand this. I hope you can hear this. And that we really are bound up with passions. You look in our society now. I don't want to get deep into that, but I don't think I need to say much to have you just briefly think that things are in serious, serious, serious trouble. And the root of it really is that is the denial of God. Okay? And why is that so important? Because man, left to his own devices, destroys himself. That's just the way it is. Through pride and through passion, he destroys himself. And so, if you eliminate God, then the passions get released, and people start imagining that there are all kinds of horrendous things that we are seeing going on that are actually good. And of course, we know that that's not true. And so, what happens is that we have this crisis. And the other way of talking about the same thing is, you cannot have a society. You can't have a community, a church community. You cannot have a community around you unless you share the same values. When we talk about truth, if truth, you say, well, truth to me is this, but truth to this other person is something else. If that's what you do, then what happens is you can't communicate. You don't actually share the same values and the same words. And what does it lead to? It leads to abuse of one another, anger. Can you imagine? Cancel culture. People are being canceled being canceled in big ways. Ways that are incredibly painful and in many ways destroying people's their careers and the gifts that they have to give to society through their those gifts that God has given and being destroyed by canceling them. And really defiling them and defiling what they stand for, because they may stand for the truth and they may say, look, we have to embrace the same values. And those values have been revealed to us through our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to read His Gospels. And we need to understand what He has given to us. So I'm going to just read a little bit of something that I wrote. The cross is a window into the sufferings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in His victory over sin and death. He suffered. Can you imagine hanging by your hands trying to support yourself with feet that have been nailed together on the cross? And so He suffered enormously. He suffered perhaps the cruelest death that one could ever suffer. And so what happens is the cross has become a symbol. The way I look at it, the vertical beam of the cross rises up from the fallen earth and points the way to heaven and eternal life. That's the upright. The horizontal beam of the cross stands between heaven and earth. Those who rise above enter into the beginnings, the energies of heaven. And it binds mortal man to the struggle with sin and death. So if we accept, all of us wear a cross. Most of us, all of us. We should. If we don't, we should. And if you don't, let me know. The thing is, and we wear it over our heart. Why? Because we're bringing that symbol. And symbols have power. I thought it was like our words have power. That's why we utter our words. And sometimes we wear beautiful words and we tell our spouse or our children how much we love them. And that those words actually have power. And you can see the countenance of our loved ones change when they hear these beautiful words. But other words, many words of condemnation and anger and so on, they have power too. And we know how upset someone can become if we release our anger on them. And so we have the cross on our heart as a reminder on the one hand, but also, believe it's so hard to grasp, but it actually, that symbol has energy associated with it. And it's there, resting on our heart and helping us. And so the intersection of the cross represents the heart of man and the paradox of conflicting desire. Namely, on the one hand, we all want peace. We all want love. We all want to be comforted. We all want to be secure. And these are good things. We need to have this security, this comfort, and this love in order to rise up and to actually become a spokesperson, as it were, for the triumph of God over sin. And so it's the heart that has to be sanctified. And on the one hand, it represents our desire for everlasting life and ever-expanding love of God. On the other hand, it represents our attachment to the fallen world of sin and death through pride and the love of earthly pleasure and honor. And so we gaze upon the Son of God hanging upon the cross in the sure and certain knowledge of his resurrection. So here this is something that takes time to absorb, but as we come closer and closer to the faith of our Lord, and we realize that even though there's so much struggle, and we have our own passions, and we see how others have passions, and the difficulties, the cross, the triumph of the cross, which Christ died on the cross, and he was buried, on the third day he rose again. So there's the triumph. So that triumph is our gateway to understanding and love of our Lord, and gives us a moment, as it were, to embrace him in his victory. And in embracing him, we receive strength and cleansing and strength and power to rise up. And so in the moment of realization, as we gaze upon the Son of God hanging upon the cross, we are called to reestablish the priorities of our life. Yes, we are called to submit ourselves to love and obedience to the service of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his Holy Church. Toward this end, we must resolve to struggle against our fallen nature in its vain quest for earthly pleasure, honor, and earthly glory. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our God, awake. The time is short. Awake and realize that all the worldly things that we do in this life will be quietly defeated by the ravagings of age, sickness, and death. On the other hand, everything that we do in this world to serve our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and his Holy Church will sustain us through the ravages of aging, sickness, and death, and translate our mortal bodies and souls from earth to heaven, from mortality to immortality in the eternal and heavenly kingdom of our Lord. Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who is always merciful. The cross is the eye of the needle through which we must pass in order to enter life eternal. In obedience to the Father, Jesus Christ mounted the cross and crucified the mortal flesh and broke the bonds of sin and death for all who believe and follow his example in the quest for perfect humility and faith and hope and love. So, it's interesting because to live the life of the cross, which is to fight our passions and all the dark powers that come up in us, there are some who speak about this. We have to crucify ourselves. We have to crucify, our darkness. We have to crucify any of those things that are an offense to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would like to say this in a bit of a different way. The fact of the matter is we actually cannot crucify ourselves. We cannot crucify our passions. We cannot crucify our pride. We cannot crucify ourselves. So what has to happen is we have to realize that we are, in a sense, helpless in our own right. We are unable to do these things. And it's in that, and so what we do is we bow down to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ with our heart and our mind and our soul and all of our feelings. We cry out to him, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And if we do that, then we will be taken by the hand and led gently and quietly to our Lord. And we will come so close to his holy cross that we'll be able to participate in the fruits of the cross, which are the body and blood of Christ, which we partake of during divine and holy liturgy. And may this be true for all of you. When you want to struggle, it's one thing to, yes, we need to try to discipline ourselves and so on, but the ultimate victory is won through prayer and through submitting ourselves to the Word of God. And not just reading it as a story, but reading it in such a way that we ask God to open to us not just the words, but that we can actually enter into a communion with the mind of Christ that spoke the words. And if we do this, we will, little by little by little, progress. Actually, when I was in my 20s, really, 20, 21, I discovered that pride was the root of all my difficulties. And I was very excited. I thought, wow, I figured this out. This is unbelievable. And I didn't figure it. I had to read it, you know, in some of the classical readings. And I was like, oh, this is how I figured it out. What? And the thing is, it's about 30 years later I figured out that actually I hadn't figured it out at all. That the insight that pride was at the root of my waywardness was not, the insight wasn't the solution. It was sanctification to the grace of God. And thankfully, though, the insight did lead me to the desire to be united to Christ, and I followed that path, but that only with the help of God. I remember another thing I realized is I used to think I figured things out, and then, you know, I brought the rest of my body, and my mind came down, and brought the rest of my body along. And later on, I said, no, that's not what happened at all. The Lord actually revealed something to me. And then I was drawn. It wasn't me figuring it out at all. So, let's pursue together the life of the cross in the expectation and knowledge that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is with us, and He will help us along the way. Let us pray as much as we can, and let us faithfully enter into the life of His body, which is the living reality